Please join me now as we listen to the word of the Lord. Salamat po, Panginoon. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to listen to your word. I lift up myself to you, Lord God. I pray that I will be able to share your word with accuracy, Lord, or no, with clarity. And at the same time, I lift up to you every heart that is listening here, and I pray, Lord God, that you will also allow them to open their hearts, to understand your word, and obey your word, Lord. Because this is your word, Lord, and it is not I who is speaking, Lord. And so I ask, Lord God, that you will just move through every heart that is listening here. Thank you, Father. I entrust all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sige po, this morning I would like to talk to you about a timeless virtue that has been around since man started to think deeply about his existence. Ever since man started thinking about the mysteries of life, this is what he keeps thinking about. And it is the state of being that we call contentment. Ayan po, contentment. I'm sure many of you realize that we live in a world driven by desires and the tendency to compare ourselves to others who seem happier than we are thanks to the influence of Facebook and Instagram. No? In a world ruled by social media, contentment seems to be out of reach. People want more stuff instead of finding contentment without realizing that contentment is a deliberate choice to find joy in what we have rather than always reaching for what we don't have or what we cannot achieve. So, as we gather here this morning, let us explore the riches of contentment, how it should reshape our perspectives, and how we should respond to the biblical principles taught in the passage that I will be reading today. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn them to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and I'll be reading only from verses 11 to 13. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. And it says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do," and this is the favorite verse that has been abused by many Christians and non-Christians alike. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And so I would just like to give a brief background of this beautiful letter of Paul. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter to the Philippian congregation. And he had a special relationship with this church, which he founded during the second missionary journey. And then at one point in Paul's ministry, many years earlier, this church was the only church that had supported him financially. But now, they had again sent him a gift which was so meaningful to Paul because it came at a time during his life that it was very difficult. And Paul just simply wanted to express his deep gratitude to the Philippian church. And so he thanked them for their partnership in the gospel, their loyalty, and also their sacrificial giving. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he was a prisoner. chained to a Roman soldier, maybe even chained between two Roman soldiers. Now he is in prison because he was considered a great threat to the Jewish religious leaders. Now, he previously occupied a high position in Judaism because he was a leader who studied under the great teacher Gamaliel. But when he became a Christian, he was now using scripture and the prophets to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And that the Jews considered him to be a traitor and the greatest threat to Judaism. And they just needed to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. Now, since he is in prison, he lost the freedom to do the work of ministry. No? He is much in need, receiving no support, or perhaps little support from the early church and from his friends. Now, this was probably the most difficult part of his life. He languished in prison for something like 2 years while waiting for his ultimate trial before Nero, which could result also in his execution. We all know that Nero was notorious for his wickedness and for his cruelty and his persecution of Christians. Now, with all the trials that he was going through, still, Paul was a beautiful picture of contentment. Even under so much difficulty, Paul understands that he is in prison because of the sovereign will of God. He may be chained, he may be locked up, but he is a free man. Because he is a man of faith, he does not waver in his commitment to spread the message of Christ. But today, the church faces pressure to fit in the ways of the world. Morality is slowly fading. Some people prefer a society without God. And in some countries, like the U.S., the government now fights for women's rights to have abortions. And it seems that the church is powerless to speak against it. The LGBTQIA+ community is advancing their agenda, forcing some churches to perform same-sex marriages. And so how will the church respond now to all of this? How will it stand firm in the truths of God's word? Or will it eventually give in to the demands of the world? Some churches now even preach messages of inclusion. Yeah, everyone must be included. They say that the church should be a welcoming and accepting place for everyone, regardless of lifestyle, regardless of gender or sexuality. That's what they preach now. How far will the church go? How far will Christians go? Will they bow down to the world? Will they conform? But not so with Paul. Ibang iba po. Paul, with all the restrictions that have been brought out by his imprisonment, Paul does not change his stand. No? And he refuses to compromise, even if death would be the result of his choices and his actions. Sabi niya, he will not back down. He will stand firm. Instead, he says, with all these things that are happening to me, I am confident. I am content. That's what he says. I am content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he says. I can go through this trial or any trial for that matter, because Christ is far greater than any circumstance. Many people want to find true contentment, hindi po ba? But sadly, many do not attain it. Even some Christians fail to grasp the, true meaning of contentment. Why? Because people look for it where it cannot be found. They look for it in possessions or money or power. Some people look for it in freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from debt or from an illness or probably from a dead-end relationship or from a dead-end job. Freedom from problems. Contentment cannot be found in freedom or any of these, because John 16:33 says that in this fallen world that we live in, you will always have tribulations, and that is a fact. Finding contentment is like how Solomon describes it in Ecclesiastes 1:14, where he said, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. In the NIV, it says, it is a pursuit of the wind. Ha. Tingnan niyo yan, ano? Can you really pursue the wind? So, contentment displays one's trusting in God's providence there. You do not just accept, but you find joy in God's wise arrangement of every circumstance. True contentment comes only from having a right relationship with God and trusting His sovereign will. And that is what I would like to share to you this morning. So from this short passage and from the life of Paul, we find three principles of contentment. Three principles of contentment. Umpisan po natin dito sa verse 11. The first principle is this: a contented man sees beyond his circumstances. A contented man sees beyond his circumstances. Please return to verse 11 and read that with me. Sinabi niya doon, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Whatever circumstances I am. So Paul began by saying that he was not implying that he was not that he spoke from want, no, when he thanked them for their gift. No? He was not complaining, and he adds that he had learned to be content in whatever circumstances he found himself in. So his happiness did not depend on circumstances. It came from something deeper. Even if his situation was extremely difficult, he was not discontented. He was in prison, chained to a Roman soldier with very little food because he had no way of providing for himself, and friends would rarely visit him. But none of that affected his contentment. He was satisfied with whatever he had. He was satisfied with the little that he had. Now, the original Greek word used by Paul for content meant simply enough, sufficient. It's like it's like for every meal, you are so used to having 3 cups of rice that are tightly packed. Tightly packed. And then for some reason, one day your wife gives you just a half cup of loosely packed rice. And then with a smile, you say to your wife, tama na ito, dear. That is true contentment. Hindi po ba? Kasi true contentment can only come from God. And it enables believers to be satisfied and at ease during any difficulty. The attitude of Paul is strikingly different from the attitude of society today. People are not content with little, and they are not content with much. Today, the more you have, the less content you become. Diba? And that is why the richest people seem to be the most discontented, the most miserable people on earth. We have a saying, adversity builds character, prosperity breeds monsters. Totoo po ito. Prosperity has done more harm to people than has adversity, especially with believers. Now, as if that were not enough, the world has a distorted definition of needs and wants. Many desires have now become needs. When we were in college, a laptop was not a need because it was too expensive. No one could afford it anyway. And there were computers at the computer lab. Now, you don't just need a high-end laptop and a high-end phone. You need something in between, a tablet. Tech companies have been so successful in convincing us that we need these things. Now, once you have it naman, no? Once you have it, all you do is use it to play games or scroll to Facebook. Hindi ba? You already have a car, but now you need an SUV. I just need an SUV. You have a home, but now you need a bigger home in a better neighborhood. Everything has become a need. People chase contentment that is always out of reach. But that was not the case with Paul, because he was satisfied with whatever God graciously granted him. He is perfectly content where he is because he is where God wants him to be. What circumstances did he go through? Where did Paul learn all this? He passed through so many fires. He encountered so much opposition. Wherever he went, he was accused of blasphemies in Corinth. He was also accused of blasphemies and mocked in Athens. There were many plots against his life. In Jerusalem, he was also stoned and presumed to be dead in Lystra. Through all of these and many more, Paul learned how to be content. He learned contentment in what many Christians refer to as the furnace of affliction. And the furnace of affliction was the perfect environment to demonstrate his contentment. And my friends, we must use the same furnace of affliction to learn the true meaning of contentment. Contentment cannot be learned in times of plenty. Hindi po. No? The second principle that Paul mentions in this short passage is found in verse 12, and it is this: a contented man is satisfied with little or with much. A contented man is satisfied with little or with much. He is satisfied with simplicity, and he is also satisfied with prosperity. Let's read verse 12 again. Please turn your Bibles to verse 12, and please read it with me. It says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And so we read from this verse that Paul experienced both ends of the economic ladder. He encountered wealth probably during his younger years before his conversion to Christianity. He knew how to live in prosperity. He knew how to be filled and to enjoy an abundance when God graciously granted him more than he needed. But at the same time, he was not ashamed to admit that he also went through poverty. He experienced hunger. He knew how it was to get by with meager means. Still, he thinks and he declares that he has everything he needs because his contentment was a product of many trials and difficulties. So please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Paul here gives us a summary of how of his difficult life. There, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. He says, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger, in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So many difficulties. Sino ba sa atin nakaranas ng ganito karaming difficulty? Mukhang siya lang po, no? In verse 12, Paul says, I know how to get along. Oh. What else does Paul say about contentment? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. And this were his words to his disciple Timothy. He says, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. What did he say? If all you had was food and covering, of these you shall be content. You are to be content with whatever you have. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So you have to be content with your wages. Kung ano man ang sahod mo, dapat kontento ka. With whatever you have, you are to be content. Wherever God has placed you. But I would like to also to add that contentment should not be an excuse for complacency or laziness. Huh? If your roof is leaking and your wife says to you, we must have our roof repaired. You cannot rebuke her and say, we must be content with whatever we have because this is what the Lord gave us. And all you do is sit there and watch Netflix all day. Hindi po. You should strive for better conditions. You should strive for a better life. Especially if it is within your power to do so. There's nothing wrong with wanting something like better education or better school for your children as long as you can afford it. Even if it means working harder, working longer hours to achieve your dreams for your children. And you cannot say, I am content with my ministry here in Guiding Light and stay where you are when there is work to be done in, let's say, Libon or Alaminos, and if God is calling you there. You are to be content because you understand that an infinite God will never leave you or forsake you. The Bible not only identifies contentment as a virtue, but speaks of contentment also as a command. It's a command. Now, Paul commanded the Philippian church to be content with whatever they had. But then, the reality of it is, you listen to those words and then you say to yourself, easier said than done. Hindi ba? Easier said than done. But then Paul was saying here that whether you live in humility or prosperity or any circumstance in between, you should still be content. And this is a lesson that every one of us must learn. The cost of following Christ involves suffering. Remember, contentment is not about settling for less. It is about finding fulfillment in what you have now. But what if Christ is all you have? What if Christ is all you have? Paul said, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Where did he learn this? How was he able to write this with confidence and boldness, which was consistent throughout his entire book of Philippians and consistent with his other teachings and in other letters? He learned it while going hungry in prison, while being beaten, while being stoned, while being shipwrecked, while spending the nights in the deep. In all his sufferings, he was humbled. And he was brought to the point where he would have to trust completely in God's sovereignty. Paul was confident that God was in charge and God was behind what we call the grand scheme of things. God is ordering everything for his own holy purpose, own holy purposes, and working all things after the counsel of his own will, and is making all things work together for good. Yan. If you do not accept that biblical truth, you will always be discontent, and you will take on the responsibility to arrange your own life. And you will end up frustrated because you will realize that there are many things in your life that you simply cannot control. Hindi nyo kaya. You cannot control the rain. Ayan. And you find yourself in the deep flood waters of EDSA after just a short but heavy rain. You cannot control the sun. And you get so frustrated when your laundry does not dry for many days, and when it eventually dries up, it smells so bad. No? You cannot control the traffic and just one little minor traffic incident causes a massive traffic jam and allowing you to be late for work or your appointment. So many things that you can't control. But we need to remember that Christ is in control. God is in control. God orchestrates everything to accomplish his purposes. Thus, Paul was confident that God would orchestrate every event to meet his needs. His many trials caused him to declare that all he now had was Christ. But Paul was quick to add that Christ would be enough. In all his sufferings, Paul learned the secret of rising above them. Now, what is the secret that Paul was telling us about in verse 12? The secret is revealed in verse 13, which brings us to the third and last principle of contentment. And it is this: a contented man finds strength in God's grace. A contented man finds strength in God's grace. Turn to verse 13, and please read that with me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things. It means I have the ability or the capability to do it. If someone says to you, you can do it, it means you have the power within you to accomplish it. But when Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, it means that in the context of what he was going through, having little, having hunger, no? Having no freedom, languishing in prison for 2 years or maybe even longer, waiting for an unfair or unjust trial that would likely lead to my own execution, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This does not apply to basketball or any other sport. Hindi po. It does not mean that you can dunk the ball as you take off from the free throw lane Even if you are just under 5 feet tall, hindi po pwede. It does not mean that you can run a marathon and finish ahead of other world-class athletes having little or adequate training. Hindi po, you need to understand your limitations. It does not mean that you can achieve anything you desire, like perfect scores in any exam, even if you don't study. Hindi. It is not a formula for success. If you use this verse to advance yourself, I'm sorry, it will not work. You need to understand your limitations and understand that Christ strengthens you within His purpose for your life. Within His purpose for your life. Those are the key words. Paul was saying, I have the power within me to endure this difficult persecution because Christ is the source of my power. Now, I may be going so much trials. I may be going through so much persecutions. But all things that Christ requires of me and all things that God calls me to do, I can do because it is God who enables me. I am exactly where the Lord wants me to be. I am here. Now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can overcome fear even while chained between these two Roman soldiers. I can overcome the cold in this dark prison cell. And I will not get sick because Christ sustains my health. Even if I do get sick, Christ will still sustain my health. I can share the message of salvation to those who visit me, even to these two Roman soldiers that are chained to me, because Christ gives power to my words. I can even stand trial before the most wicked of all rulers the church has ever encountered. Throw me to the lions. Chop off my head. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yun po ang kanyang sinasabi. Now, what is true for Paul is also true for you. No? You are so tired. You feel you do not have the strength to pray during prayer nights. But you just need to pray. What does that mean? Christ will enable you. You can do it. If you are being pressured to participate in a corrupt practice, but you just refuse to compromise and you want to remain firm in your beliefs, God will give you strength. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We all have our own troubles. Hindi po ba? I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're suffering from a dreaded disease which brings so much pain. And you're so discouraged. Your body, your mind, and your spirit are at war. Understand that if God is sovereign, and if we believe that God arranges all circumstances so that it would accomplish all His holy purposes, then we can be content in anything because we know that everything is under the control of a holy and righteous God. If you are in the will of God, you can go through this. You can endure your pain, your trial, and your suffering because I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Now remember, Paul wrote this verse while imprisoned. He knew hardship. And yet, even under the most horrible of conditions, he found contentment in Christ. If Paul was able to endure or triumph over his enemies, we we can also endure. We can also achieve because we have the same source of strength. No? All the resources that Paul had access to are readily available to us. Lean on Christ, especially in challenging times. His grace will sustain you. The one who is at work in you unleashes strength within you, and it will be sufficient to face any difficulty, any challenge, or any tribulation that you will be up against. This power does not originate with you. It originates from Christ. It is all sufficient. It fills you with strength. And it is a supernatural strength that will energize you, that will enable you and empower you. The power within you is greater than your need or than any difficulty. And so no matter what you are going through, if you think you don't have the strength to carry on where the Lord has placed you, friend, believe that you are exactly where you need to be. The Christian life can only be lived by God's enabling grace. Alam po natin lahat yan. But that grace is sufficient to meet every demand that the Lord will place on us. Remember, 2 Corinthians 12:9. One of our favorite verses. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, here he goes again with that word, I am well content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, and persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Look at the passage again. Weakness and power are repeated words in this short passage. So this verse tells us about our weakness and Christ's power. It is during our weakness when power is perfected. We must be weak enough so that God can grant that power and shower that power unto us. We can do nothing apart from this power. But it is only as we seek God and His righteousness will He give this power. But that power is released or unleashed by being in the Word. It's unleashed by obeying the Word. And so, we just need to walk the narrow path that has been prepared for us. Because this power will enable us to do what we could not otherwise do amid the trials in our lives. No? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This must be the reality of our ministry. So when we're feeling overwhelmed, Christ will step in. Regardless of the great challenges that we face, the strength of Christ is greater than all. It will surpass all, and He will enable us, empower us to do more than we can ever imagine, as long as we are guided by His sovereign will. Amen. So, eto po, gaya po ng ating laging ginagawa, can you all please look for a partner and share a ministry point to them? Sige po, if you're done praying, can you please return to your seats? So we can end in prayer. Sige po, before we close, can we all please stand and sing our final song?
Let's sing the first worship song that we sang earlier. In Christ alone, the source of our strength, our hope, our victory.
Precious truths. Lord, this is what we declare. You are our source of strength, our source of hope. You alone, Lord God. But if that were our only thing, if that was the only thing that we had, Lord, Christ would be enough. That is what we are confident about saying today, Lord God. Thank you for giving us your message. And today, Lord God, as we come before you now, we also present to you our tithes and offerings. We pray, Lord God, that you will just be the one to multiply our tithes and offerings as we give back to you, knowing, Lord God, that all things come from you. And we are just obedient, Lord God, in following the command to tithe. Lord, salamat po, Panginoon. Thank you for giving this in our hearts. We pray, Lord God, that you will use this to further the work of the gospel, Lord, through this church. Salamat po, Panginoon. We entrust all this to you, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.